morning, everybody. I hope everyone can hear me okay. It is great to be in the house of the Lord today. It's just a beautiful day outside. The sun's shining. You know, it should be bringing joy to our hearts in all that we do. Today has been kind of a strange day. I had a Monday on a Sunday. And let y'all kind of know what had happened. But woke up about 6:15 this morning, looked over my alarm clock, and there were no numbers on it. And I wonder what's wrong. So I got up out of bed, went to turn the light switch on in the living room, and there's no lights. So I woke up this morning to no power. But then I had to go outside, had to crank up the generator, get it going, take all my extension cords, plug everything in, so I've got lights in the living room and I can get the TV on and get the telephone working and all that. And then I happened to notice on my coffee table was my sermon that I had worked on that I couldn't get typed Saturday night because my computer wouldn't work right. But I have a cat, and that cat decided she was going to urinate on my sermon. With the type of pen I use, all the words just blurred. So I had to throw my sermon away that I had been working on. So God does have a sense of humor. So I had a very short time to come up with a message for today. It's probably not going to be very long. It's something that God did lay on my heart. And it kind of made me think about, you know, today I could have been angry. I could have been mad. I could have been upset. You know, darn power's off. The cat just, you know, did its duty on my sermon. Ah, the heck with it, and want to climb back in bed. No! It's morning. The sun's shining. It's time to rejoice. It's time to be with God. So how can being with God make you angry? To be with Him means to feel love. It means to feel joy. It means to feel kindness. It means to also feel love for others. And no matter what goes on, no matter what my morning started out like, it's a glorious day. It's a day to be here in the house of the Lord. It's a day for you that are online to be with us. It's a glorious, glorious day. And I hope each and every one of you feel God's Spirit today and carry that with you as you leave this building or as you get done watching it at home. I want you to know His love. I want you to know what He has in store for us. Amen, Lord. You are great. But I'm going to start out with a little joke. I seen this and I thought, yeah. This sounds good. Why wouldn't Pharaoh let the Hebrews go? Think about that. Why wouldn't Pharaoh let the Hebrews go? The answer is simple. He was in denial. Think about it. You'll laugh later. Denial, you know, the Nile River. He was in denial. Just, you know, it will come to you. It will come to you. You know, we're now in August, and just around the corner, we've got football season coming. You know, the pros have already started their preseason games. college, they're all practicing and getting ready, and a bunch of, and we're getting excited about the fact that our team's going to be playing again. Forget about what happened last year. We got a whole new season. You know, and we're excited about it. We go out and buy new shirts or whatever that has your team's logo on it. And you just can't wait. You're just jittery because it's going to be a whole new season. My question is, why can't we be that way with Jesus? Why can't we be excited that we have a Lord that loves us? Why can't we be jittery because He's made a way for us? Why can't we just want to jump up in joy because we have a Father in heaven that cares for us? What happens a lot of times is that we become spiritually bankrupt. What would happen if we took all of our money out of the account and didn't put anything back in? Eventually, we'd be broke. We'd be bankrupt. Well, the same thing happens to us spiritually. What if we keep taking it out, but we never put anything back? We never spend time reading God's Word. We never spend time in prayer. We never spend time in wanting to help others. You know, we never spend that time. We never put anything back. We just keep taking and taking and taking. And eventually there's nothing else there. The spiritual bankrupt person cannot see a future different from what the present is. And they have lost the moral compass. Makes poor choices, becomes self-absorbed, and is not aware that their choices even affect other people. Jesus is not speaking of money. But those that have a poor relationship with Him, you can have all the money in the world, all the cars and the house and the best job and all of that kind of stuff, and still be spiritually bankrupt. The cars, the money, the houses don't make any difference. Pride can keep us from being spiritually fit. Think about that. Pride can keep us from being spiritually fit. It's harder to give up your riches than to humbly lay them at the feet of Jesus. Now, there's also nothing wrong with having those things, having a nice house or a nice car or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with achievement. We should all be wanting to achieve to something. We have goals and all that we set. But what we can't do is allow those achievements to blind us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 19:24, Jesus says, "Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." A camel go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to lay down his riches and turn to God. David referred to himself as a poor man. In Psalms 51, chapter 1 through 4, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justify when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire the truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. I went a little bit further than that. Once you are spiritually bankrupt, it becomes harder to fight off Satan. It's like using a wedge to split firewood. It starts with a crack. And then the more you hit it, the more that crack gets bigger and bigger. And then finally it splits into two. Satan will keep throwing things at you until you finally break. But not all is lost. We have Jesus to fight that battle. If we turn back to Jesus, he will run Satan away with a switch. I can attest to that. Because in my life, I have done a lot of sinful things. In my life, Satan has ran what I did. But I turned to Jesus, and all that was taken away. And I'm not perfect. None of us are, never will be, or anything like that. I still make mistakes. I still sin, even though I try not to. But I have a Savior. You know, we are all God's children. And even if we stray like the sheep, he will leave the 99 to go after us. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. What do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. If our Father is willing to do that, if we falter, if we turn back to those evil ways, our God wants us more than anything. He wants us back because he has got a mission for us. He's got love for us. He's got eternal life for us. And Satan offers none of that. Satan just wants to give you what are the worldly things. There's no reason to be spiritually bankrupt. We need to be spiritually fulfilled. But that's how much God loves us. And he gave his only Son that we may come to him. But if you think about it, Satan will kind of do the same thing. He will leave his lost souls to go after that one he might lose. Because he doesn't want to give anything back to God. He wants to keep that lost soul lost. He doesn't want anything going on other than, you know, grabbing him and taking him back. You know, he might lose, and he doesn't like it. However, when someone turns back to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven rejoices. For one person, all of heaven will rejoice. So if you think, If you think you're not good enough, if you think you're spiritually bankrupt, if you think you just can't do it anymore, turn back to Jesus. It's simple. It's easy. It's just to say, Father, I need you in my life. Father, help me, please. Jesus loves both the lost and the found. And if you're a Christian and feeling empty, maybe you want to turn yourself around. Maybe you want to spend a little bit more time reading. Maybe you want to look at the Gospels. Maybe you want to start over in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelations. Maybe you just need to say, Jesus, I need you. He won't turn his back on you. Never has. Now, what you're praying for may not come right away. God has his own time. Just because it doesn't happen when we want it to happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean that God's turned away from us. You know, when those bad things occur, when there's a loss of a child, or you know, when you lose a loved one or something, you cry out and you go, God, why? Why? Well, we don't really know the answer. He does. And all we can do is trust in him. He'll take us through it. You know, also when you're spiritually bankrupt, you got that hole inside of you. You feel empty. And that hole is fear. And that hole and that fear surrounds you. But look to Jesus and start out with, help me, Lord! Screaming. Shed tears. Help me, Father! And the Holy Spirit will move. Like the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. No matter how spiritually sick you are, just turn your eyes. He will love you. He will comfort you. He will care for you. And we will worship him. We will praise him. We will call out in his glory. It's easy to deposit into your account. Just come to Jesus and trust me. Jesus isn't going to turn you away, but he's going to build you up. He's going to close that hole. He's going to spiritually fill you from top to bottom, from your heart to your head. Remember, you don't have to stay bankrupt in spirit. You have a Savior that loves you. You have a Father that loves you. You have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the beauty that's out there. We thank you for the love and the fellowship that is in these rooms, Father. We thank you for just being able to be near you, to feel you, to touch you. to show our love for you, Father. You are so great and you are so wonderful, Lord, that we need to carry you with us, not only just leaving today, but with you, with us every day of the week, Father. We need to carry you in our hearts. We need to carry you in everything that we do. And when we get to that point where we just don't think we're worthy, we got to remember what our Savior Jesus Christ did for us. He died on that cross. He shed His blood for us. And we thank you, Father. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.